Well, hello food fans and welcome back to the World Cup of Food. Today is the most momentous of days. We've cut the metaphorical wheat from the metaphorical chaff, and it's now down to the very best in the world of food to battle it out for the chance to become the undisputed World Cup champion of food. Now, the World Cup of Food is brought to you by Burst, which is Bournemouth's premier internet radio station. And it's a great privilege for me to be here today and to bring you, the listener, all the action as it happens this afternoon. And I know that my co-commentator, Gary Baldy, who is with me here in the commentary box, is just as excited as I am. In fact, Gary got so excited this morning, we did have to sedate him. Hopefully he's recovered. Have you managed to calm yourself down, Gary?
No, not at all, Gary. Three Vicodin have done nothing to dampen my excitement.
Thanks, Gary. Appreciate that. Well, the crowd here at the Stade de Burst are certainly eager to get things underway, and I am certain that the teams will cook us up a storm this afternoon. But before the action gets going this afternoon, let's have a look at how our semi-finalists have progressed through the tournament to this point. Now, our first match was between our host nation, South Africa, and their rivals, the Ivory Coast. Many people didn't think that South Africa's biltong would be able to do it, and most believed that the Ivory Coast deep-fried banana dream team, Aloko, would easily peel back the South African defences for a quick victory. But it wasn't to be, as the Ivory Coast slipped up on their own cooking oil, and South Africa's beefy biltong held firm and was able to chew its way through to put two vital goals past the Ivory Coast. Now over to Gary.
Thanks, Gary. Next, we saw the two big guns of the Americas spice things up with an extremely close run match between Mexico and Chile. There were tussles on the pitch, but in the end, it was Chile who was able to pull a red-hot performance out of their proverbial pastry pocket as the Chilean empanada overcame the combined forces of Mexico's guacamole and spicy salsa.
Thanks, Gary. After the excitement of the African and Americas groups, we then witnessed another clash of the continental titans, with our two Asian teams, Japan and South Korea, going head-to-head. Japan suddenly lost their World Cup pod after their edamame beans took the win over the kimchi of South Korea. I think it's fair to say that although the beans might have been fresh from the twig, their young age didn't show through with a safe and solid performance. And although many have said that Japan didn't field what was considered their strongest opening squad, it seems certain that there's plenty more in the fish tank for later stages of the tournament. Over to you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary. And finally, Germany were certainly left feeling pretty sour after the nutritious might of their sauerkraut was unable to make the biscuity biscotti of reigning champions Italy crumble under the pressure. Italy convincingly took the win and remains the only team in the tournament to have received all three goals from the judging panel. A big defeat there.
Great insight, Gary. Now, I know you're all excited to get the action underway, but before we do, I'll just pass you back over to Gary Baldy, who will be able to run through how the tournament is going to shape up this afternoon.
Thanks, Gary. Well, it's a very simple setup this afternoon. We have two semi-finals. We've got South Africa versus Chile and Italy versus Japan. There's one team from each. We'll go through to the final to battle it out to be the world champion of food and lift that famous trophy. A panel of three judges will taste each of the dishes in the match and then award a goal to the dish they prefer. The dish with the most goals go through to the next round.
Thanks, Gary. Now let's get down to business as the teams come onto the pitch for the first semi-final this afternoon between South Africa and Chile. Now, South Africa is playing one of their most popular and versatile foods this afternoon, chakalaka. It can be served with almost anything, and its mixture of vegetables and spices certainly means that chakalaka will be a very hot customer for the Chileans to handle. Wouldn't you agree, Gary?
Thanks, Gary. I think South Africa are almost certain to overpower the Chileans here. Their host nation were thought to be very poor, but they've pulled the chakalaka out of the bag, thought to be injured for most of the tournament, but he's got fit at the last minute and could prove vital.
Well, that being said, however, the South African coaching staff, with the assistance of the number one South African food shop in Christchurch, have decided to follow the serving suggestion provided with the chakalaka and give it some support this afternoon in the form of crusty bread. Do you think that this decision to play the bread as well shows that the Africans are worried?
Not at all, Gary. I think this is a fantastic move. The bread plays just in the hole behind the chakalaka. It gives it the support it needs and could fire it to victory this afternoon.
Lovely. The Chileans are coming onto the pitch this afternoon and they are also fielding a savoury dish for this semi-final, Palta Rina. It's an avocado which has been filled with tuna, and as we all know, fish is a brain food, so I think the Chilean squad this afternoon is a real thinking man's team. Avocados, though, are known for being fattening, and as we have seen in the warm-up, this team is not their fastest on their feet, and I think that the lettuce at the back doesn't necessarily offer the support the Chilean forwards need. Gary, do you think the Chileans' combination of tuna and avocado will outsmart the South Africans, or do you think the Chileans might wilt under the spicy heat of that chakalaka?
Well, Gary, this dish was created in a restaurant in Chile about 1920. It's got bags of experience. It was adopted in our country in different ways. Besides, it's now filled with salmon or corn, but the old one have always won the day, and Chileans are strong at the back. Could prove tough for the South Africans there, Gary.
So with the match just about to kick off, will the South Africans be basking in the warmth of victory, or will the Chileans feel the bitter chill of defeat? We'll soon find out as the referee blows the starting whistle for kickoff. Now, panel, we have Mog, Matt and Lorenzo here. Unfortunately, Chris had to be subbed out due to an injury. Can I ask, can you please try the Chilean entry?
Oh, the Chilean entry
the
first.
The Chilean first, okay. Please.
Sorry, we were looking at the rather appetising South African one.
I'm afraid you're going to have to wait for that.
Okay. Now, as you pointed out, it is basically just avocado with tuna and onion, which obviously has been on the English menu for quite a while. So this is no great surprise to us here in the judges.
Well, I'm going to say it was invented, as Matt said, in 1920 in Santiago, so it's as Chilean as they come. I don't think it's fair to accuse the Chileans of playing a foreign player.
Sometimes the simple things are the tastiest, so we'll see.
And accompanied by a cusp of lettuce as well.
Yes.
Oh, that is what they recommend.
You can hear the crunch there, really getting stuck in.
I really did think there would be something else besides half an avocado with tuna and onion, but that is it. That's simple, but I mean, of course, it's beautiful. Everyone knows what that tastes like. It's lovely, but I don't know if it's going to be unique enough against the South African entry.
I think the onion gives it a little bit of flavour. However, I'm in need of that kick. That real kick to it.
Righto, so it's not necessarily a strong start for the Chileans here. They haven't done anything too wrong yet, but they don't seem to be getting up the park and really pressuring the South Africans. So let's see what the South Africans can do in response. Panel, can you please try the South African dishes? Or dish, rather.
Well, I mean, this looks like a very oily
cat food.
I'd say it looks like blood, to be honest.
It's a very oily kind of curry dish, and it's vegetable-based.
It certainly is.
It has a strong piquancy.
Very red.
It looks a bit like lime chutney, which you would get in various Indian restaurant curry houses that are around the British Isles. It looks a bit like lime pickle.
Well, I know the lime pickle does tend to be a bit divisive, so...
Good God!
That's the kick I was looking for.
Yikes, South Africa could be onto a big score here if that's what they're looking for.
South Africa are punishing our panel by the sound of it.
It requires the bread roll with it because that takes some of the heat away from
this. It soaks up some of that fiery African spirit.
I think it needs a health warning on the tin.
It looks like playing that bread has worked out very well, Gary. Just playing behind the spice, giving it all the flair it needs.
But not allowing that spicy chakalaka to take any unnecessary risks and overpower the panel with spice there. I think that was an excellent decision.
Excellent decision, Gary.
Now, I'm going to have to bring this to a close. Mog, which of the two teams are you going to award the goal to?
Well, the chewbacca was far too much for me. It's the avocado, it's for the Chileans.
It's for the Chileans, so it's 1-0 to the Chileans. And Matt?
No, for me, it's the chakalaka-laka the whole way through. It's got the punch, it's got the drive, and more, it's got ambition.
Oh, the South Africans have equalised with an absolute dinger. What a goal. And Lorenza, your deciding goal, please.
I think it just gave me that definite, powerful kick. It has to be South Africa.
What a surprise there.
Goals for South Africa galore.
The host nation are through to the final for the first time in their history. The spice and the flair of that chakalaka just winning the day there.
Well, that was quite a performance from the South Africans, and I look forward to seeing them in the final. Now, next up, we have Italy versus Japan. This is going to be a big one, I think, folks. Italy are fielding, you know, well, Italy are one of the strongest teams in the tournament, and some would say that they are favourites to win with their hearty cuisine, but they're going to have to work very hard to overcome the might of Japan this afternoon. Now, today, the Italians are fielding a pasta-based dish. It's basil and pine nut marguerite. However, although pasta normally performs well for the Italians, there have been questions in the run-up to this game as to whether the Italian team has got enough flair, enough excitement, you know, that normal kind of punchy, forward-attacking play they normally have. I don't know whether it's going to carry them through to the final. I mean, marguerite does mean daisies in Italian, but the pasta's shell shaped more like a shell. So will the Italians be able to come out of their shells, or will they wilt in the midday heat of the Japanese attack?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Gary, I think this is very typical Italy. They have all the flair in the group stages. They played the biscotti. They won the day 3-0, but then they go back to the tried and tested pasta, strong at the back, trying to stifle the Japanese and trying to sneak a 1-0 victory, I suspect.
Well, that may well be the case. I will say that the Japanese are fielding something called karaoke. It's pumpkin karaoke, and it's very similar in style to a French croquette. So many of the people here will be familiar with a dish like this. They've played it safe. They haven't taken any risks. We know sushi has a lot of raw talent, but it does occasionally roll over in the face of stiff opposition. And do you think karaoke is a flat patty. Do you think Japan can stand up to the Italians, or do you think they'll fall flat on their face this afternoon, Gary?
I think Japan have got a great chance here. They did well in the last World Cup, the sushi and the tuna roll, the egg roll punching down the wing. Karaoke, it's a bit of a live wire. Sometimes they're a bit prone to mistakes, but I think they've got a great chance today against that flat back four of the pasta.
Well, it's good to hear. Now the match is about to get under the way, so let's head over to our panellists and see what they have to say. Now, first things first, panel, can you please try the Italian entry?
Looks like a lion.
Yeah, it's a little bit disappointing in the presentation, if I may say. It looks like a farmer's hat. It is obviously beautifully made pasta of the kind of spinachy egg variety, but there is no sauce, there is no olive oil, there is no parmesan with it. They have not got a great supporting team here. It is just purely the forwards.
Italians are very well known for their parmesan. Like,
well, that is one of the concerns about this team, and that's what I was talking about. Do they have enough to carry it through? They've got some great forwards, but are they lacking in support? That's what I'm wondering in the midfield. And the olive oil, the parmesan, would have done that job superbly.
If we'd have had just a little bit of olive oil with it, I think it would have just it would have slipped down a little bit easier. But as it stands, it's a beautiful made. It's a beautiful filling for this ravioli type pasta here.
It does have the vague smell of wet dog though.
But we like wet dog.
Yeah, and you know the flavour is very tasty inside. Mm. So it's once you get past the exterior, you can really get some flavours and results.
I think the Italians are proving today, Gary, that they might just be a one-man team. Supporting act.
Well, I'm thinking that the Italians here are showing that even when their supporting players aren't on their best form, they can still put up a good fight. Now, panel, I'm going to have to move you on. Can we please try the Japanese entry?
Now, two of the judges here are actually using chopsticks, which I don't know.
Traditional methods, not knowing the Western world very well.
I don't know if that's actually cheating. I don't know if that's the Japanese have provided chopsticks for these judges. Bribing. I'm sticking to the traditional fork.
Well, I will say, I don't think chopsticks. Hold on, let me check the rule book here. No, I'm looking at the official World Cup of Food rule book, and they haven't said the chopsticks are not allowed. So Japan will not pay any penalty for deploying those chopsticks.
It's a very smart move there by the Japanese coach. Very smart.
Oh, yeah. Now, as you said, you're right. It has a kind of potato croquette kind of look to it.
There's a surprise and, once you bite it, though.
Yeah. And you said it has a pumpkin. It has a real sweetness to it.
Yeah, really nice sweet taste to it.
Lovely sweet taste. And it's inoffensive, yet very, very Moorish.
Right, so they...
A little bit like a small Spaniard.
So it's a safe bet for them from the Japanese. They haven't alienated anyone. They haven't put any loose balls. They're not making any unforced errors. But they are getting the job done. It's a tasty, safe snack that anyone can enjoy, not just a native of the fair island of Japan.
As I said, I think the Italians came into this a little bit too cocky. They thought they could have just the strong forwards with no supporting olive oil. And I think the Japanese, certainly for me, if I may be so bold as to give my casting vote right now...
You certainly can, Matt. What's your casting vote?
I will certainly go with the Japanese there, 1-0 up.
Big shock.
Big shock. We've got an early goal from the Japanese. Mog, will it be Japan or Italy for you making it through to the final?
The pumpkin's punch through for me. It's definitely for Japan.
Well, it's a foregone result, but can Italy claw one back, Lorenza?
Well, I'm usually an Italian supporter, but I have to say, definitely Japan all the way.
Well, wow. I am blown away as it is a goal for Japan.
A goal fest.
The crowd go wild as the final whistle is blown. I can't believe it. The Italians are out. And so, lining up this afternoon, we have our host nation, South Africa, who has managed to do it. They're through to the final of the World Cup of Foods. And what a result for South Africa. They really have done well. I don't think anyone expected them to get this far. And whatever the result this afternoon, they can certainly hold their heads up high. Wouldn't you agree, Gary?
Thanks, Gary. I think there's going to be partying on the streets of Johannesburg, no matter what happens tonight. They started strongly with their beef biltong. They added the flair in the semi-finals. And they've shown their all-round game is up there with the best in the world. Their cuisine is something really to be talked about after this cup is over.
Well, it's the last match of the tournament, and South Africa brought out the Koch sisters. Now it's a South African syrup coated donut, and in a twisted braided shape or a plait, and it's prepared by deep frying it. Now the Koch sisters are very sticky and sweet and taste a bit like honey, but will the pressure leave the South Africans in a twist, or will they be experiencing the sweet sugary highs of success this afternoon? Gary, what do you think?
It's a tough one to call, Gary. I think they've done very well to get this far, but I think maybe they've gone too far. The stickiness of that Koch sisters is really going to prove difficult to get past. Their players might get a bit mangled together, and who knows if they'll be able to get the ball out wide.
Well, we hope they don't get too mangled together. They did look a bit stuck together in the pack, though, so...
Very stuck together, Gary.
Could be a bit foreboding there. Now, the Japanese are playing the vegetable gyozo. Now, these shouldn't be confused with the wonton, which have a thicker, chewier skin, and they're a bit flatter, and they like to be dipped in sauce. Now, do you think that a lot of people will mistake how Japan are going to play this afternoon? They may think they're getting a wonton, which is a bit thicker, a bit flatter, maybe not as nimble on its feet, when in fact they get a light, fluffy vegetable gyoza. Do you think South Africa might make that mistake, Gary?
Oh, definitely, Gary. I think this is a very strong Japanese lineup. Gyoza can be found in supermarkets and restaurants throughout Japan, but they're getting all over the world. They've had big money transfers into Europe. I think people aren't really taking these gyoza seriously. They can go down the wing. They're strong at the back. I think they could pack quite a punch.
I think there could be a real potential for a real upset this afternoon. Let's see how this pans out. Panel, are you ready?
Which one would you like us to try first?
Can you please try the Japanese gyoza first? That's the vegetable gyoza.
Now, you're exactly right. They look a lot like wonton. And these one have been especially well made. There's a kind of gooey kind of, not pastry. What would you call this, Lorenza?
I'd say it's more
like a suet.
I believe it is. It is more akin to a dough.
Dough.
Than a pastry.
It's like a suet, yeah.
It's almost a plasticky look to it, though.
Yeah, I must admit, it's not that appetizing. For a final, you'd think they would pull out the big guns.
Well, you know, this is a very popular dish in Japan, and I don't think, as we have said, you should judge it on appearances. A lot of teams have made that mistake and paid the price.
Oh, Oh, but when you bite in, there's that lovely garlicky taste.
And there we go, the Japanese counterattack, that delicious garlicky taste.
I'm getting vegetable, then I get kissed by a big bit of garlic.
Delicious.
It's pastry, almost that Italian feel, but with some garlic.
Some of that Italian flair going over in the Japan team. They might have stolen something off the semi-final there, Gary.
Well, exactly. It's like a chewy spring roll.
A chewy spring roll?
But is that a chewy spring roll in a good way or a bad way, Mog?
In a bad way.
In a bad way.
But the insides are so good.
Yeah. There's some unforced errors from Japan this afternoon. Their outer shell seems to be a bit rubbery, a bit around the park. They don't quite know what they're doing. Now, if you could please move on to the South African Kirk sisters.
Now, normally I have a lot of time for Kirk sisters.
Kirk sisters, it actually translates to cake sister in Afrikaans.
It's not Kirk sister.
No, it's not Kirk sisters, no.
It has the look of intestine about it, but sweet.
It looks disgusting.
It's basically a kind of greasy, doughy type small bit of bread, really.
I think it looks like a caterpillar.
It's very similar to a donut, but as we saw earlier in the game, the Japanese did not look good at the start. How has that gone down, the Kirk sisters there? Lorenza?
Well, it gives off a sweet taste to start, and then it's very, very bland, and it just, that weird sort of syrupy taste overtakes your mouth, and I don't like it.
And Matt, what have you got to say about this?
Have you got any custard?
Any custard?
I'm afraid to say that...
This is nice.
We don't have any custard available for you.
Cream?
We don't have any sauces at all, I'm afraid,
Evaporated
Matt.
Evaporated milk?
No, I'm afraid not. Mog, what do you think?
It just needs that little bit of something, you
know?
It
needs... Perhaps that's it. Perhaps South Africa have run out of gas. They haven't got anything left in the tank. And it's just... Their play is a bit boring, a bit bland. Mog, what do you think?
It's like cardboard in sugar water, but I love it.
Oh, yeah. It's really filthy. It's disgusting and filthy. You know, really awful. Makes you feel really bad.
So wrong, it's right, some might say. Well, it's not a ringing endorsement, but there just seems to be a sort of perverse ability for the South Africans to hang in there, keep plugging away, and I think there could be a shock here.
This is a very tight final. We anticipated a nervy game, but there's no one's really taking the game by the horns right now.
No one is really dominating this. Can I have the panel? Mog, which are you going to pick, the South African Kirk sisters or the Japanese Gizo?
It's the sisters of South Africa for me.
Oh, and South Africa's got one in early. Lorenza?
I'd have to say that the South Africans made my teeth tingle, so I'm going to go with Japan.
Well, it's not just sweetness in light for South Africa. Can Japan get the killer goal? Matt?
It's going to be South Africa.
The host nation
has won it! What a goal in the last dying moments of injury time. And South Africa has taken the World Cup of Food 2010, brought to you by Bournemouth Internet Radio Station. That is Burst. There's jubilation amongst the South African flans? South African fans and flans. It's been a hard-fought campaign these last couple of weeks. And I think South Africa are deserved winners. They've surprised everyone. They've come out from left field and they have beaten some very tough opposition.
I think it's proved, Gary, that they are deserved winners. They have the most shops in the area. They have the easiest food to source. I think, therefore, they deserve their title.
I think that was a big part of their strength. And as they hand over the trophy to the winning team and we hear the national anthem for South Africa, I will say goodbye. We hope you've enjoyed this tournament as much as we have. Have you enjoyed it, Gary?
Yes, I've enjoyed a lot there, Gary.
Glad to hear it, Gary. That's all from me, Gary Garrison. And that's all from him, Gary Baldy. Goodbye.